First Baptist Church of Redmond, October 9th, 2011. What to say?
And today it's my turn to lead in scripture reading. So would you please stand with me as we read together from God's Word, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's read together as the Bible says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Thank you very much, and please take your seats again. What to say? Sometimes I don't know what to say. Sometimes as I work on my sermons, I don't know what to say. And you can ask my wife and children. So often I'll work on the week, I'll come up with the message, I go into my office on Saturday, and I throw the whole thing out. Because even though it looked good, it doesn't look good on Saturday, and tomorrow is Sunday. And so what to say? I wonder about that. What in the world to say, especially when you're talking about people? This is a very famous clip, very famous cartoon from Charles Schulz. I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Very, very, very familiar. And this is kind of what we're talking about. What to say is on my mind as we work our way into kind of what we're talking about. From last time, if you'll remember, Colossians chapter 3, we're spending the balance of our time. More sermons are coming from this third chapter than any of the other chapters in our book, because this one is the one that tells us, by the way, because of the Lord God we have, because we have Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit moves in us, these are the implications of serving the kind of God that we have, who is forgiving, merciful, kind. We'll get onto that. But this passage, Colossians chapter 3, is one that Paul the Apostle, under God the Holy Spirit's influence, is writing, telling us that, you know, there's a lot of lists of things that we should be doing, things that we should be thinking, ways we should be living. And we look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is a very good list. But there are character traits, activities that God expects us to be following that go beyond that. And here in this passage, we're told, because these things are commands, we're told we can learn to do these kinds of things. That some of these things are not second nature to us. Well, that's because we have to have the Holy Spirit's influence to be doing these kinds of things. But God still expects us to do that. And particularly, chapter 3 is talking to us about ways we should conduct ourselves among each other, believers, when we meet. Above all. You perhaps cannot look at me right now and tell that I have green socks. But I have green socks because they kind of match the suit I have on today. I would expect you would determine what color suit do I have. Yeah, it's one of those goofy colors. Now see, for me that's hard. Because I've told you before that I have mild color blindness. And the suit I have on today is one of those colors where I could just pick about 10 colors and say that's what it is. Okay? Now, I picked green socks because I'm going to illustrate to you that, to me, these look almost exactly the same color. Okay? So I know that they don't. My wife is smiling. Yeah. Okay. So for me, it looks like I almost have olive green on. Okay? Now, to you, you know, like those old chroma color commercials from the TVs, these colors may look different to you. But to me, you know, so that is, well, whatever I have on top, that's above all, that's the number one thing that would be characteristic. Now, I can look at Mr. Kerman, he's wearing a black sport coat, right? See, I can tell black. And Barbara has a little cute red shrug on. Ah, isn't that nice? So the number one color you see, like, Dale is channeling summer. Can you tell? Oh, Mr. Sunshine. That's him. It must mean he's very powerful because if we're talking about in Sunday school, the name Samson, Shimshon, refers to from the sun, S-U-N. So you're strong as well as somebody who's bright and shining in our eyes. Very good. So when we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, but above all these things, Paul is saying, we've talked about a lot of things. He's talked to us in the first two chapters of the book how we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is supreme in our lives for the myriad of reasons that he gave. In chapter 3, he began to talk to us about focusing on a character that would reflect that we are focusing on things above in heaven and act like a citizen of heaven. In verse 5, he talked to us about some personal involved entrapment things that we should be careful to not let characterize us. And he also in verse 8 said, by the way, these are some emotional, generally anger kind of things that God tells us we need to get control over. Verses 12 and 13, he talked to us about our need to get along with each other, which is very, very difficult. That's why these are spiritually empowered character traits, because without God's help, it is normal for me to put myself first, to give you your comeuppance, and to plan how to be on top. But God is telling us here to focus on forgiveness. And if these aren't hard enough, he tells us in verse 14, above all things. So again, he's using a metaphor really that refers to clothing. The phraseology here is oftentimes used for clothing. Above all, or when you finally get done, what will you wear on the outside? Put on love. Don't have to talk about that too much. We're going to get to that. Because we're talking about doing things that are for another's good, or really for another's best, that if we have the number one character trait, when people see us as we're people who act out of love, that we will see that this is the character trait that will cause us to be bound closely, completely with each other. It's the bond that embraces and combines and will knit you to someone else like no other relationship. Like when you walk down the aisle with someone, minister says things back and forth, do you promise to love? I do. The magic phrase, and there's somehow the sign of paper, you have a unique kind of relationship with each other. People have children, they take their home, love your children. Oh, isn't I love my children? So the word love is what connects, bonds, glues. Forgive me. But here's the point. Why am I talking about this way? One of the most difficult subjects to talk about in a group of people who are adults who know their Bible, who've been going to church for a while, is the topic of love. That's why I titled my sermon today, What to Say? What do you say? Because this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Jesus talked about that, loving God and loving your neighbor, as a law summary. Jesus talked about the need to love him and to obey him. So love is not a new topic. But it's difficult to talk about, not in the same way that might be difficult to talk about the deity of Christ or God's work in salvation. But as soon as I said love, probably your mind went someplace else. Because you thought, love, love God, love my neighbor, love my Christian people. I know that. I love people. I love people all the time. I'm very loving. I love people so much that people just look at me and know I'm all about love, love, love. Why people look at me and say, look at that. That's Mr. Love right over. That's Miss Love. They look at me and they say, that's the loving Christian person, because that's what Christians are like. And I'm a Christian. And they look at me and they know that I have love. See, because you hear this word, we talk about this word is used every place. You say, I bet I've very possibly in the last 24 hours you've told someone that you love them. Very possible. Not necessarily, but very possible in the last 24 hours you've said, I love you. You may have looked at a hamburger last night. I love the hamburger. You have a pet. I love my pet. There's a lot of different things that you can say you love to. And because of that, sometimes we feel that we have heard everything we want to hear about love and encouragement. Don't gotta tell me to love people. I love people. I love people all the time. See that man over there? Cut me off? I didn't hit him. See that kid over there? Left his junk in my lawn again? I didn't knock that kid over. I didn't call the police. I love that kid. Chapter 3, verse 14. We have all this list of things to do in the first section of our book, and really the first section of this chapter. But our Bible writer is saying that for me as a Christian person, the number one characteristic trait that I should have is I try to reflect God to other people. And don't take this wrong, it's not holiness. Don't take this wrong, it's not faithfulness. Don't take this wrong, it's not mercy. Nor does it say justice. But it says love. In the Old Testament, I want to talk about the Old Testament for a moment to try and dial this in a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." And I'm going to try and be succinct yet clear. When we talk about love in the Bible, sometimes it's good to look at the Old Testament because the imagery that's there, to me, draws it home a little bit better. Now, this is just me. You might be different. But when you look at the relationship, look at the Old Testament stories, the relationship between God in heaven and the people he has chosen to follow him, Israel, it is a, I don't know, if he was people today, you might say it's a love-hate relationship. Because God chose them, God encouraged them, God gave them gifts, God told them they would have a great future, and then they had a really hard time personalizing that, acting on that all the time. Sometimes they did exactly what God told them to do. Oftentimes they did not. But God, because God is love, God continues to act in loving ways to them. Sometimes the loving way is positive. Sometimes the loving way has some suffering involved with it. But God says, "I loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with," and we'll talk about this word, "loving kindness." Some things in the Bible are very difficult to say, and here's where I'm trying to dial into today. The Old Testament uses a word that's almost impossible to clearly translate. It's the word hesed. Hesed describes the relationship between God and his people. So I'm going to hit these because when we talk about what does it mean to love? So we're going to talk about God's love first. The word is used when the help of another is essential. The person in need cannot help himself or herself. If I'm in need of something, I'm somebody who the only response to that is this kind of hesed, committed love. Unless I get this kind of love, my situation will turn drastically for the worse. Unless I get this kind of action given to me, I'm going to fail because there's no alternative. If this person doesn't help me in this way, there's no one else for me to turn to. And by the way, when I need this kind of help, I can't draw on past favors. I can't say you owe me. You may have done this for me in the past. It may be something, I don't know who you are. But the one who's going to help me has to make a choice, a free choice. There's no obligation involved. So if I'm looking at a definition of how, number one, how does God treat Israel, the nation, but how does God treat me as a person? When I say that God loves me, this term and how it's used, I think is very, very clear in how love is described. The one who needs to be loved. And this is the interesting point, is the person who receives this needs this. They need to have this happen to them. So I'm going to say they need to be loved. I can't, on myself, love myself. I can't do for myself the things that I need to find and have happen. Unless I receive love from someone else, my life will drastically be worse. Matter of fact, if other people don't love me, there's really no source for help that makes a difference in my life. And to be loved, it has to be freely given. I can't say you owe me this. So, I don't know if that helps you, but when I think of what it means to love someone else, Those four things help shape my thinking, because our word love could be used in so many different ways. We talk about it, put it on jewelry, necklaces. It almost has no meaning. But if I think about someone else who, if I'm going to love them, I look at someone who they need things they can't have done for themselves. Without contact interaction for me, things will get worse. I'm really the only one who can make this kind of a difference. And by the way, I need to do this just because I want to, not because I owe them anything. And by the way, this is something that is now a committed relationship that I've entered into. I've now committed myself into doing this for them. So when you see that word loving kindness in your Bible, how in the world do we talk about that? Because it's different. There's a word for love in the Old Testament, but this is not it. This is an above and beyond helpful kindness where I'm deciding to commit myself to someone else and do things for them that no one else could do for them that they need. If I don't do this for them, their life is going to be worse. And how can I turn my back on them? But, you know what? In my mind, in my life, in my experience, there's been a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of hurt, anger, and resentment in my heart and my mind, because when I've needed this kind of love, when I've needed this kind of treatment from people, I often have not found it. Maybe I would say I have never found it. And here's the thought. We are all creatures of choice. We're creatures of choice. Poor choices don't mean we must make them again. Sometimes we've made poor choices. Sometimes we've, loved the wrong person. Or I don't know if you can say you've loved someone too much. I don't know how I would look at that, but I think you know what I'm trying to get at. So when you look at relationships with people, you think, I could never do that again. But my point is that love does not erase the past. Love decides to make the future different. When I give someone love, have I been taken advantage of? Maybe they'll take advantage of me. Maybe they'll take me for a ride. Maybe, I don't know. But the point is, I have decided, I have chosen, I have realized that God wants me to treat them this way. And now for the paraphrase, Gary Bridges has done a much better job than I could on this. He's written a book called The Pursuit of Godliness, where he talks about the value of love as the foundation of every other virtue, which is what Paul is saying here, above all things, put on love. As he goes through 1 Corinthians 13, I am patient with you because I love you and want to forgive you. I am kind to you because I love you and want to help you. I do not envy your possessions or your gifts, because I love you and want you to have the best. I do not boast about my attainments, because I love you and want to hear about yours, your attainment. By the way, if you want to know how to make a friend, this is what you do. Sit down. How was your day? What did you do? What did you find? What was your favorite? What would you like? I am not proud, because I love you and want to esteem you before myself. I am not rude, because I love you and care about your feelings. I am not self-seeking, because I love you and want to meet your needs. I am not easily angered by you, because I love you and I want to overlook your offenses. Not seeking justification. I do not keep a record of wrongs, because I love you, and love covers a multitude of sins. Putting these things in context, we've talked about Jeremiah chapter 31, where God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah, he said that to his people, part of them who have rebelled, they're going into captivity, they're going to be suffering. Another country is trying to teach them a lesson. And Jeremiah 31 continues as God speaks to his rebellious people. Is Ephraim my dear son? He's talking to his rebellious children, and the answer to these is yes, yes. Is he a pleasant child? Yes. Why? Because God has decided to treat him in this love, loving, kindness, hesed kind of way. For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. And it is in this context when God is talking to his people in the Old Testament about their failures, their judgment, their punishment. Another country is going to come in and ransack them and take them captive. That he gives Israel the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. In other words, he says, I know that you have a hard time keeping your commitments. So in the future, I'm going to plant my word in your heart. I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to implant my Holy Spirit in you. And there'll be a time when no one has to teach anybody else about God because you're all going to know about me in your hearts. So God makes a tremendous promise of a tremendous gift to them because they can't keep it themselves. And sometimes when you love someone, you help them keep their commitment. For us, love that puts another first where God wants them is still the greatest of them all. It's hard to love people. It's hard to know how to love someone sometimes. Because sometimes, as God feeds Israel, they have to learn a lesson. It's not loving for me to have to tie my 30-year-old child's laces because they don't do it. Right? It's different if they can't do it, but if they don't do it, right? But yet it's loving, sometimes they just need me to do so. It's hard to know, how do I love somebody? What is the right way? Is the way to love through this, how do I do it? And it's our love, by the way. We talk about it's our love that makes all the difference in the world once we choose to give it. Radium, an amazing element, discovered by Marie Curie. When you think about radium, you could look it up on the internet, look it up on Wikipedia, look it up in a science book. It will tell you all the traits it has about its color, its luster, its scrapes, all these kinds of things with radium. But you'd be missing the point if someone didn't tell you that radium is radioactive. And a lot of the early people who worked on it, discovered it, worked on these things that somehow would leave impressions on film plates that would give off protons and the neutrons and things like that, that if they held them, they began to get sick and die because they were getting cancer because they were getting radiation in their lives. So you can study radium, but you can't study it too close because you'll get sick and die. I had a friend who used to, when I was in Denver, he used to work at Rocky Flats. Rocky Flats made plutonium triggers for nuclear weapons. And my friend talked about, I've never seen plutonium because you can't get too close and touch it because you'll die. But that's what the place was all about. Radioactivity. When you think about God, God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God controls your future. God answers your prayers. But the Bible is telling us the number one thing about God that I need to remember is that God is love. His number one overwhelming characteristic is that God is love. God has made a way for you to know him. God has made an escape from this world through Christ, that once you trust him as Savior, repent of your sins, you receive eternal life, and one day you will live all of eternity with God in heaven. So we can think about God and study him and see how Jesus fulfilled prophecy and God has a plan for the ages. And one day there will be this battle of Gog and Magog and there's going to be an Antichrist. And one day Jesus is going to ride back. And we can study all these kinds of things. But the number one thing is to realize that God is love. And as our gentlemen come to wait on us as we transition over to the Lord's table, that's what this is all a picture of, that God is love. God loved us and sent his Son. Isn't that a wanna verse somewhere in there? I think so. Very good. Covey verse. So when we think about God, when we think about the Bible, we think of all these details. God knows us and he knows we are of clay. He knows we are as of a vapor. God expects things from us. But ultimately, God is love. And he tells us, as his followers, that above all the things we work on, looking at all these verses and all these things, on top of all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or completeness in our relationship with Him and each other.